Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen, and this afternoon I'm joined by a fellow monk from the Zen Monastery Peace Center, Amy. Welcome, Amy.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So Amy has agreed to join us this afternoon to talk about the Africa gift cards, largely because we are just rolling out our Mother's Day Africa gift cards, so we thought it would be fun to talk about them and little bit about their history and what they are, and Amy's been a big part of producing those for the last couple of years, so she's somewhat of an expert on the topic. So, Amy, I wonder if you could first kind of tell us, what are the Africa gift cards?
Sure. The Africa gift cards are cards that we offer that support the Africa Vulnerable Children Project, and they come in a variety of amounts from $12, which gives a gift of feeding one child for 30 days, all the way up to $288, feeds two children for 1 year. And so there's a variety of amounts of the gift that you can give. There's a variety of card designs.
Yeah, that's one of the neat things about them is that there's we do specific cards for certain occasions, like we have Mother's Day coming up, and there are several designs for that, and then there are just sort of general designs, I think.
Yes, for birthdays, for sympathy cards, just a variety of occasions that we always have cards on hand for, or we produce them for.
Yeah. And one of the things that's fun about it is that it's really, well, like everything with Living Compassion, it's a team effort. So Marie, who does a lot of our design work, was on the show, the Good News Update, you know, a few weeks back talking about the website. She does a lot of the putting it together and making it all design-worthy. June, who is the editor of all of Sherry's books, she does a lot of finding designs and photographs for the cards, and so it really is kind of a team effort, isn't it?
Yes, and so I've had the opportunity over the past couple of years as working meditation to actually produce the cards, to print them out and glue the photos onto the cards and address them to people. They can be either sent directly to someone on your behalf, or they could be sent to you to address yourself and send out, and so I've been a part of getting those cards to people.
Yeah, which could seem like just a mundane task, but I'm projecting it that it's pretty fun and inspiring to do it.
It has been. It's been something that's been an enjoyable working meditation assignment for me. It's been a way to participate in the Africa Vulnerable Children Project from the side of the ocean, and and a way to facilitate other people being involved as well.
Yeah, yes, that's great. You know, I love that. And one of the things we're talking a lot about these days is the bridge walk, because we're just under 6 months out. And so pretty soon we're going to be talking to people a lot about the bridge walk, and we have some really, really fun ideas of how to make this the biggest one ever, the 10th annual. And it's really going to center around participation. And what I've been seeing about it, and you just illustrated it perfectly, is that so much of what we do is participation. And I think people miss that. They miss recognizing, acknowledging their own participation, that truly, like in your case, printing the card, getting it ready, sending it out, you know, addressing it, taking the care that you put into all of that is truly participating in Cantalomba, the person who buys the card and sends it to their mother or whatever, is participating in Cantalomba. It's all part of the project.
That's been my experience. It's been a way for me to participate, and I project for the people who are purchasing the cards and sending them to their loved ones, for everyone to participate.
Yeah. It's so great. I'm curious if there are any particular, as you've been doing it, any particular things that stand out that were fun for you, experiences in kind of creating them and making them happen.
Well, what's most memorable to me is around this time last year, we had an effort to get Mother's Day cards for all of the mothers in the Living Compassion in Cantalumba. And
that's
so
great.
Folks over here would buy cards to be hand-delivered. In this case, it corresponded with a trip to Africa, and we prepared a whole bunch of Mother's Day cards to give to the mothers over there. And that was really inspiring to be a part of and to address all those cards that in many cases were from one mother to another mother, just expressing appreciation. And it was just inspiring to be a part of.
You know, to be honest, I had forgotten that we did that, and it was really, really fun. In fact, it's worth people going to check out the blog. So it's awful, but I don't even know. Does Mother's Day always happen in the same time every year? I'm not sure, but not being a mother myself, I guess. But I think it's in May every year, isn't it?
So I believe
it must have. Yeah. So that's right, actually. Last May, we did have a trip. And so if you're not familiar with the Africa blog, it's definitely worth checking that out. So you go to the Africa part of the website, and you'll see an Africa Trips blog tab. Click there, and then they show up. There's a little icon for each trip. And if you go back to May of 2010, I guess it would have been, there are pictures of the women receiving the cards. And I wish that all of the folks who had bought the cards could have seen the looks on their faces when they each got their own special card, you know, beautifully printed, and a message inside. It was really fun. In fact, you know, a very small percentage of them speak English. And so they were saying to Teresa and I, "Will you come tell me what my card says? What does my card say?" It was really
fun. I remember that blog, and it was fun for me to see them with the cards that I had participated in producing, and then there they were receiving those cards, and I project really enjoying that.
Yeah. It all matters, you know? It all matters. Yeah. When you were talking about the amounts of the cards, I thought, you know, it's extraordinary how it adds up. I think we recently got the total figure of what we've raised so far from the gift cards.
Yes, over $80,000 just from the gift cards.
Yeah, $80,000. And I'm guessing, I mean, I don't usually see them come through. I don't work with them much, but from the times that I have seen them, I mean, most of the cards are in that $12, $24 range, you know, some slightly higher. Sometimes we'll get some of those big cards, but a lot of them are in that, you know, $12 and $24 range. Am I right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it just
it all adds up.
It all adds up. $80,000. It's extraordinary. You know, what a huge effort. And that's really from, you know, thousands of people choosing to hop on the web and choose that card as a way to, I think probably most people who buy them are buying them as a gift, you know, for someone else. But, of course, we could buy them for ourselves. The mentor could buy one for us, I suppose. Or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Could buy one for the mentor in appreciation. In fact,
one other thing
that
I wanted to mention was a lot of the designs are specific to a holiday, and we also have some really special cards, which are Africa photo cards, which we accumulate a lot of photos of the kids from the trips over to Columba, and they appear on the cards, and that just, I think, adds a special touch that you get to see the faces of the people who are benefiting from the effort.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's not just some cute child somewhere. It's actually one of the children who will benefit from the purchase of that actual card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And so, as I say, Amy, I'd forgotten about our Mother's Day campaign. I think that was fabulous. So I just want to make the offer to anyone who feels moved to buy a card in honor of the mothers in Cantalomba. They're most welcome to do that, and I will personally deliver it, so they can make a note saying, please give this to Jen and give it to her for the next trip, which won't be before Mother's Day. But you know what? I think it's pretty unlikely that Mother's Day is the same day in Zambia as it is in the United States, so we can just make it up.
I'm sure they would appreciate it anytime.
Exactly, exactly. And I just gave myself an idea a minute ago. I think maybe I'll buy one, a Mother's Day card for my mentor. Seems appropriate, doesn't it? All right, Amy. Well, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. And we'll turn the show over to you, Michael.
Okay, great. Thanks, Jen. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Great.
Good.
Great.
Hey, you being a dad and all,
yes.
I was thinking as that was going on, I hope we revisit this subject along about the June trip.
Sure.
Because we have a lot of great dads, in the world, in our Sangha. And in Cantalomba.
Yeah.
So I bet those fellows would get a pretty big thrill out of having Father's Day cards delivered to them, too.
Yeah. I was just thinking the names of the men over there. There's Winter,
yeah.
Christopher,
yep.
Pascal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think every fellow in Living Compassion Zambia is a dad.
Wow.
So, yeah. We got to get those boys lined up with some cards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's a great idea.
Them feel left out.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. Sherry, I enjoyed your webcast conversation yesterday evening.
Oh, you heard it.
It was great.
Good. I was stunned by the numbers. When he started saying how many people are signed up for these things, I thought, wow. I wonder if they're all on the phone at the same time. That could be a massive overload. Yeah, I thought it was really fun. I think Stephen is just a wonderful human being. And the thing that I like best about that is, as far as I know, I mean, you actually at this point know more about it than I do because you participated. I just, you know, dialed the phone number. But I think the whole thing is free.
Yes.
And, when he approached me and invited me to do this, I'm reading along, and it's free for anybody who wants to call in and participate. I said, sign me up. I mean, people all over the world joining together like that, and everybody can do it. So pretty neat.
Yes, and I think it was recorded and presumably archived somewhere so that people can listen to it afterward.
Uh-huh.
And it was fun for me because it's not often that I hear all in 1 hour sort of every aspect of Living Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the peace storming, awareness practice, Cantalomba, you know, and the way you hold all of that in one space is really fun.
Yeah, well, it was fun for me to talk about, too, and to hear reflected back from somebody, all of that is part of Zen practice. And, I mean, I think for us, that's just a given. Well, yes, of course it is. But for the rest of the world, obviously, clearly, that's not the case. So, it'll just be fun to see. Of course, the thing that, you know, the other free thing that I'm excited about is recording and listening. And I expressed on that I hope it is, in fact, a revolution that absolutely takes over the world. And so I'm just hoping we hear from some people and get that started around the world.
Great. Great. Sherry, I have your schedule here.
Hmm. I should jot these down, huh?
Yeah, put them in your calendar. First week of May, April 30th, you will be in North Carolina. What you practice is what you have. This is a special by-invitation-only retreat with you for graduates of the first It's Time to Feel Good email class.
Yes. That's the one that nobody mentions it without me getting quite animated about how eager I am for this retreat. There's that thing of if it's a tenth as good as I think it is, it's going to be life-changing in a way that we just can't even imagine yet.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And then after that retreat, you will be at Malaprop's Bookstore in Asheville, and that's on May 8th at 5 p.m.
And I believe that's Mother's Day, isn't it? Per our conversation or our earlier conversation.
I should probably check that.
Yes, I meant to note for Jen that we don't know what Mother's Day is because we're mothers. It's because we have a mother.
Yes.
If her mother is listening by any chance, she'll be happy for that encouragement.
Yes. And then you'll be in Rhinebeck, New York at the end of May. That's May 27th to 30th at the Omega Institute. And folks can register through Omega for that. And back to California in June, the weekend of the 10th through 12th, you will be co-leading a workshop with Mark Lesser at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur. And this is called Spirituality in Business. And then back to the Zen Monastery Peace Center, July 16th through 23rd, you'll be leading Not What But How, which is a week-long retreat.
An annual favorite of mine.
An annual favorite. And then at the end of May, July 29th and 30th, you'll be at Namaste in Felton, California. This is a fundraiser for many years for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. And then back to Esalen in August the 12th through 14th for a weekend workshop with you. What do these questions have in common?
We don't know because we haven't gone to the website. We will soon.
Yes, I've gone to the website, and I have a suspicion about what they have in common. And then, as Jen was mentioning earlier, the 10th annual Bridge Walk on October 1st.
And, of course, this is just my schedule, right? This is just where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of stuff that's happening at the Zen Monastery Peace Center and in various places, so people can check that out, too.
Great, at livingcompassion.org. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic and about 5 minutes. And I think we're ready, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Catherine.
Hey, Catherine.
Hi, Sherry.
How's it going?
It's going well. I'm calling in part because I made a commitment to call in regularly, and in part because I'm looking at something and a whole lot of resistance came up to calling about it. So
ooh.
I thought I'd better call.
Exactly. Let's just stop and all take that in for a moment. When there's a lot of resistance about something, we know that's the thing we need to do. Very
right.
Good.
Yeah. And conditioning is telling me it already knows what you're going to tell me.
And has it told you what that is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll try
record
to
and listen.
I'll try to be original here.
Okay. Well, it is. Well, she's just going to tell you to record and listen, which I have,
mm-hmm.
and it helped tremendously. And what I'm aware of, this is a pattern for me that conditioning hooks me in a story that I'm on the brink of financial ruin every day.
Uh-huh.
And I need a different job, or I need more hours on the job I have, and I probably won't get them because they don't like me. And then all of it means that I'm a failure. All,
of course.
Yeah. All roads lead to
that, right?
Yes.
Yes, and it's your fault.
It's
right?
My fault
failed because of you.
Yes. Yes, it's my inadequacy. And,
are you in the email class?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. So isn't it, if you're keeping up reading along, isn't it extraordinary to hear that that is the same exact story for what would you say, 8 out of 10 people? And the other two only have a slight variation on that.
Mm-hmm.
I have been more surprised in this class than anything I've ever done at the uniform nature
mm-hmm.
of karmic conditioning and self-hate. It's like
mm-hmm.
the same exact words.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that,
mm-hmm.
and it still is able to get you. How does it do that?
Well, just, well, if I am not paying attention every minute, it will get me. It, I kind of, today I was looking at that, of like, it hooks me over and over, and then it wants me to beat me, it wants to beat me up for getting hooked, and what was coming up was, you know, this karma has come up again, and it's the time of year, if we're approaching the sort of the last quarter of the school year, so assignments for next year are being made, so it's kind of a time to where all of us are wondering what assignments we'll have, will we have enough hours, what, you know, sort of thing. So we're all, there are a number of us teachers kind of in this, and what came up today was, from my mentor, was, you know, this is the perfect opportunity for us to be together as you go through this and to see through this. To go through it together and to see through it.
And have you, which is true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's so familiar. It's not there. You know, at a certain point, we get it that we have no choice. Because no matter what you do all your life, no matter what you've done, no matter what your life circumstances are, it has the same story.
Mm-hmm.
So we know it's not going to change. It's not like if you had a better job or more hours or any of that sort of thing. If you did, it would just come in with something else that, you know, that, again, they don't like you or you're whatever it is. So seeing through it is really our only choice. So that when it's there, which it will be, because it continues to lurk and wait for that opening when you lose focus for a moment, when it surfaces again, you recognize it for what it is, and you have a plan to deal with it. So, and a plan that the mentor can help you with, right? The thing that I'm curious about with it is, do you ever go in the direction for yourself of, well, if I don't have, if I don't get enough hours at this job, I'll figure out something that I can do in the hours that I have available that will bring in the income that I need? I'm a resourceful, intelligent, qualified individual. I can make something happen.
Well, part of me, well, conditioning is working on that too, of you're too old. No one will hire you. You're not very impressive.
Are you still breathing?
Yes.
Then you're not too old.
Yeah, and I'm working now.
You're working now.
I'm working now.
And I think I can remember you changed jobs a while back.
Yes.
And it wanted you to believe it with that other job that you would never find another one if that went right. So it tortured you with that, and now you have this one, which I think I'm recalling you like a whole lot better. And have had a fair amount of success with. So, you know, we know it.
And part of me doesn't want to work. Part of me says, okay, well, you don't get enough hours. Take what you get and
exactly. Figure out a way to make that work and have the time. Right.
Yeah.
So the bottom line, and of course it's true, you know, I'm going to tell you to record and listen, but you already knew that and you're already doing that. The thing that we have to stay focused on is what is true. You know, rather than, so every time conditioning throws something at us, we just take that as information about where we need to focus. So if it says to me, you know, you're not gonna have enough hours and you're not gonna make enough money. Okay, well, great. So if I don't have the hours that I need to generate the income that I'm used to, well, gosh, what will I do? That'll open up a lot of exciting possibilities. Let's see. I could, and then you work with the mentor on a variety of possibilities. And things occur to you like that, you know, like, well, actually that would be okay because I'm kind of tired of working all the time. So, okay, well, what possibilities would that open up? And the bottom line reminder for us all, to me, is life has always provided.
Mm-hmm.
We have no reason to assume it's going to quit now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We might not always like what's provided to us, but that's only because we're identified with something other than life.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not seeing what we're getting. We're letting ego focus on what we don't have and what's wrong.
Mm-hmm. You are so right. That's really, 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 that is the truth. And
mm-hmm.
I've always had enough. I've always had enough.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And, it doesn't mean something catastrophic couldn't happen. And if something catastrophic happened, you there would be an opening for you. There
mm-hmm.
would be a way, a next step for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we look back at our lives and we can see, just time after time after time, when karmic conditioning and self-hate was predicting these kinds of dire scenarios that never materialized.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
good
right.
to focus. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the catastrophic thing happened, I'd deal with it.
Precisely. And
yeah.
all kinds of possibilities and options would open for you. And
mm-hmm.
because you are training yourself to be focused on life, on the conscious, compassionate awareness that animates you, you would be open to those possibilities in a way that someone who has trained themselves to live in a conditioned reality with self-hate is going to miss completely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm really fortunate and very grateful.
Yeah. Hey,
I'm
are
so
you,
grateful.
Since you're in the class, are you going to be at the retreat in North Carolina?
I'm going to be on the one at the monastery.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Very, very, very good. Lots of good
Absolutely.
Stuff about this going to happen there.
I know. I'm really excited. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. Take
oh,
care.
Well, thank
of
you yourself. So much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Isabel calling from San Francisco.
Hello, Isabel.
Hi.
How are you?
Overall, I'm doing really well, and practice is really working.
Excellent.
Yes. And I'm calling specifically because conditioning is telling me that I can't.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those I've been sitting here on the line just kind of facing it down.
And that's it, isn't it? I mean, we have to do that over and over and over. You're telling me not to, I'm going to. You're telling me I can't, I'm going to. You're telling me I shouldn't, I'm going to. Over and over and over. Again, not that it's going to give up, but we're increasing our I'm going to choose the moment muscles, and it's weakening. So that's kind of the best we can hope for.
Mm-hmm. That resonates. I was going to a party on Sunday, and it was telling me all the horrible things that people were thinking or going to think about me. And I kind of was mentoring myself, and I got to a point where I said to myself, this may never go away, but it's okay.
Yes. Yes. I don't have to be in relationship with it. It may, I like to compare it to a really rotten relative.
Uh-huh.
Somebody who just picks at you and puts you down and makes bad jokes at your expense, and but you're stuck with them. And so you just know that that's going to be the case. It has nothing to do with you. You know that you can't change it. You can find the humor in it. You cannot take it personally, and you can just go on with your life.
Yeah, because when I found that I was trying to, make it go away or reason with it, it was a form of taking it personally.
Mm-hmm. And giving it your attention,
which is
all it's looking for. To really get it, that it lives on your attention. So if we ignore it completely, you know, people say, well, you know, I try to ignore it and it just gets worse. Well, yes, it does, because it's withering away without your attention. And so if we can just stay in the knowledge that it's going to build to what can feel to us like a fever pitch, and then it's going to begin to subside because it only has so much ability to do what it can do to try to get our attention. If we don't give it our attention, it's shrinking.
Okay, I could see that. As I was waiting to get on the call, my heart was beating, and then that kind of made it real, and I would try to get away from it, and then my heart would beat even faster.
Yes.
It was building and building until I just realized, like, I can't look outward to try and make this go away, and I just need to sit right here.
Yes. Sit right here, breathe, reassure my heart that it's okay. It's doing a fine job, it's all okay. It's fine. We're just fine. We're just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it, you can just feel it lose power. Then, of course, you know, the temptation is to glance at it out of the corner of your eye to see what it's doing, and poof, you know, it's like a reconstituted coffee or whatever that is. At attention, and it just larger than life.
Uh-huh.
In fact, you can, it's kind of a fun game to play. You know, turn your attention to it, turn it away. Turn it to it, turn it away. And very quickly you get it that you actually are the one in charge. Because you're the one who can direct your attention. It can grab your attention. It can try to distract you and pull your attention away from you. But you are the one in charge of directing your attention.
So if I look at it out of the corner of my eye and watch it kind of come and go, but that's depending on where I'm directing my attention.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the key. You know, that's the, well, willingness is the key. But this is another key, that for you to realize that you're in charge, it actually can't do anything to us that we don't give it the ability to do by giving it our attention. Without our attention, it is powerless. It's huge, really. I mean, to really get that is, you know, it really is life-changing. Makes you the master.
Sorry, did you say it shows who's the master?
Yes, it allows you to be master.
Yeah.
Because so often people feel like they are victims to that system. You know, like it's calling the shots. And if it leaves you alone, then you're all right. But if it really comes after you, then you have no choice but to suffer. But to realize that you are actually the one in charge lets you know that you are the master of the situation. And it's what allows you to know that you can save those suffering folks inside you.
Uh-huh, because I'm not just at the mercy of whatever it's going to do.
You can protect and care for them by giving them your attention instead of allowing it to have your attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a sticky note. It's a heart-shaped sticky note. I have like a bunch of practice reminders in my house, and one of them it says, nothing is a problem unless I decide it is.
Yes.
And so it could be telling me over and over, but I can choose.
That's right.
Whether I want, you know, want to buy into that. So
that's right. You choose whether you give something your attention or not.
Yeah.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Great.
No wonder it doesn't want you to call, right?
I know. Yes.
Yeah.
I was seeing that, and a part of the whole thing too. I saw that it's like projecting onto other people actually all the mean things that it thinks about me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we don't even know that it thinks that about you. It just says it because it'll get to you. It would say anything that would get to you.
Ah, that makes it seem not very intelligent.
Not very intelligent. And it really, again, it really is not personal.
Yeah.
You know, when you listen to the messages that self-hate gives people, it's the same message. Everybody is believing that the voice is saying that to them because it's true. But the voice really is like a program. It's a recording. It just says this to any human being that it happens to have attached itself to. It has absolutely nothing to do with you.
Yeah, and like you were saying on the last call, I'm in the email class and I was reading the responses this morning, and I really saw that,
yeah.
And it was quite a relief to see that the conditioning that I'm plagued with, it's not unique.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, it was really helpful.
It's really helpful. So resistance is, you're too busy, you're too tired, you can't do it, everybody's going to realize you're stupid, it costs too much money, you can't do it, it's too hard, you're too tired, you're too busy. It's like six messages or seven messages, and people just arrange them in a different order. But it's the exact same message. And of course, the reason it works for conditioning against people is people don't know it. So conditioning convinces them that everybody else is fine, you're the only one who's messed up, and it's saying exactly the same thing to everybody. So everybody's looking at everybody else thinking, oh, they're fine, I'm really messed up. So it's really important that we get together like this and realize that, wait a minute, the voices say that to you? Wow, they say the same thing. You too? Wow. Oh, they say it to everybody. Okay, let's not take that seriously any longer. You know, it's like, do you ever get a pop-up on your computer that says you're the 100,000th person to do whatever it is, and you've won a huh-huh, and then you click on it?
Yes.
Yes, only you don't click on it, of course.
Exactly.
because we all know that's not true.
Uh-huh, and it's not personal.
It's not personal. They're just looking for anybody who will click that little thing and follow them down the primrose path. Same with karmic conditioning.
Great. Well, thank you very much for doing the radio show. It's so helpful.
Good. See you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Isabel. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Excellent.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathed in an ocean of love.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry Michaels. This is Lakota from Washington.
Hey, Lakota.
Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, great. I'm great. And it's so wonderful to get on the show and talk to you guys.
It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah. I've been... partly call in because I made a commitment to call periodically or every 6 weeks, and this is like week 9 or 10, but every week I called, tried to get on.
Uh-huh.
And here I am, and it just works out, and you know, it's really fun. Even the times when I don't get on, just I love calling and listening to the other callers. And
yeah, it's kind of a good setup we've got going, really, because
right.
people make a commitment to call every month or every 6 weeks, and then they can't get on the show. So they're actually calling in all the time because they can't get on the show. So it's a little scam we're working to get you.
That's
here.
Great. It works really well. It's
yeah.
Wonderful finding that willingness every week to call.
Yeah. It's good
and
deal.
Yeah, I guess I'm just checking in and saying that like falling down on my knees saying thank you for practice. It's so great. And it works. And
I know what you mean.
The email class is great. Yeah. Recording and listening is great. Just seeing so much. Matter of fact, just right as I was on hold listening to the show, I totally caught the voices in the act. There they were. Well, I guess there wasn't so much voices. It was just kind of the sensation of like, ugh, I don't want to. Uh-huh. And there was this kind of subtle whispering about like, oh, you don't want to talk to those people. They, you know, it was like this story about how, oh, you don't like those people or you don't want to talk to them or something. Kind of like that was the message. There weren't really so much voices, but there was that feeling like of having to do something I didn't want to do. And it was just busted because it was like... are you kidding me? I know for a fact that I absolutely love being in the company of Sangha, and that I love this practice, and I love everything about it, and it's nothing has ever touched my heart deeper than this, and, you know, it's like, get out of town.
Yeah, exactly.
I ain't buying it.
I love it when it slips up like that.
Yeah.
You know, when it's just the wrong message at the wrong time, and you hear it, or the right message at the right time, because you get to hear it for what it is, and it's just so stupid that it's like, I'm sorry, your credibility is in the basement.
I've been having that experience more and more, and I'm so thankful for every time it happens. It just really feels like it strengthens the trust in practice and really decreases that old bond with the voices, and it's great.
Yeah. And I love it. I was thinking about this the other day. Well, I've actually looked at it a lot because it keeps arising. That I want to figure out what we can do as a Sangha that really keeps this going. You know, that keeps us in touch with the mentoring and the connection, because my concern, quite frankly, is that people will get so used to loving life and feeling good that they'll get talked into going back to sleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I am so happy you mentioned that. That has been my concern recently, too. In my experience, it's a really valid concern.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's what happens. It's like, you know, I feel so great. Well, I don't need to practice. And you know, and then, of course, tragic things happen to people because they do stop practicing and they slide right back into suffering. And then they're beaten hideously for having fallen for that scam. And, of course, there's a lot of suffering that's in there. So just, you know, that we support one another in staying awake and realizing that, you know, there's no sense to in getting to a place where life is really good and then thinking you can coast, because mm-hmm. it can just get better and better and better.
Yeah, and like you say so many times, why would I ever want to stop paying attention when it feels so good and it's so fascinating?
Yes, yeah. And yet, that old, you know, later, paying attention, yeah, it's great, isn't it? Let's do that later after we, good idea.
As one of the circling sharks, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
In the cartoon.
Yeah, wasn't that great? Did you love
that?
I
love that.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Me too. I love it. I especially love the one on the left-hand side that's just come. It's clear up out of the water. It's so enthusiastic about getting you.
Oh, yeah, this is great. Yeah, and boy, well, I'm glad we're all on the same page, and I am 100% willing and happy to participate in anything we can do to keep it going.
Yeah.
It's a good role, and I don't ever want to stop.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. And I think between all of us, we can figure out what that next step is. So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great.
Well, I'm in.
With you, Lakota.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks for calling. Good night.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be right back.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop. Drop and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
How are you?
Are you thawed out?
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm wondering if you're thawed out yet.
Oh, yeah, thawed out. Thank you. We are. We had a big blizzard, big April blizzard.
Ooh, so did we.
Yeah, big foot of snow on at-home working meditation retreat day.
Wow. Okay, well, we're all looking toward July for some really nice weather.
Yeah, we've had 4 or 5 days, and 80% of the snow is gone. They're forecasting in the next couple of days another blizzard. So.
Bless your heart. Well, then let's talk about this. How's practice?
Yes, how's practice? It's good. It's good. Doing the ongoing recording and listening.
Uh-huh.
Recording and listening. And I just love the first two conversations this call, though, about directing the attention.
Uh-huh.
And it's exactly my experience. And just, it's so true. The split second, and it's so subtle at first, but it's so apparent, because I came home today and I was listening to my recordings.
Mm-hmm.
I do daily recordings, so I was listening to it, walking the dog. I came home and I took off my recordings and I took my attention off my present moment where I was right away.
Uh-huh.
And ego stepped right in, and I just got hit with an ego storm immediately. It flattened me.
Uh-huh. A blizzard of ego.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just like, oh my goodness. And I got kind of possessed by ego self-hate, and I did some really unskillful things, and I got just filled with rage, and I threw a few items around the kitchen. And then I stood there and came out of it and went, wow.
Yeah.
It had me. Lock, stock, and barrel. Wow.
Yeah. And good. Good on the wow.
Yeah.
Because that's the attitude, isn't it? It's just what a rotten human being you are in going to slide into the next layer, but just, wow. That's compelling. I really see the importance of never losing focus.
Right.
Yeah. Not in a should sort of way.
Uh-huh.
That when that happens again, which it probably will, it makes you a bad person. But just the stakes are really high. I really want to pay attention.
Yes, the stakes are really high, and because I've been fairly diligent about this practice for quite a while now, and especially with recording and listening, it. For me, it is extremely transformative and deepening my practice to levels I never, ever could believe I'd go to. The stakes are super, super high for conditioning as well.
Yes, yes. And so it's kind of funny, isn't it? Like in the past, you know, you lose focus for a minute and it sort of tries to distract you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now it's so desperate, you lose focus for a second and it just hits you with an atomic bomb.
Yes.
Because it's got to get in there and do its damage when it can.
Right. And I'm not giving it that many openings.
Yeah.
And when I gave it that opening, it came with a ferociousness I hadn't experienced in a long time.
Yeah.
Which was really kind of startling.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
Because I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it really is. And doesn't it give you a lot of sympathy for the kinds of things people do when they're in the grip of that?
Yes.
Yeah. It's sobering. It just so much compassion for the kinds of things that we see all the time. We can just know what was going on with somebody when they did whatever that was that they did.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was talking to my wife about it after, and I said to her really sincerely and with a lot of, you know, compassion, I said, you know, I can see how people kill each other. Because if someone was standing right in my way during that time, I was really not in my right mind or not in, you know, the present moment mind. And I could have actually come to and gone, oh, my God, what's this dead person doing in front of me?
Yes, yes.
And that's what you hear.
And that was a really brief episode.
Yeah, episode.
Yeah, so the person who's been living in that for years,
right,
it's really easy to see how they could do something disastrous.
Yeah. And I so liked what you said that, you know, you've got this concern about Sangha, how we can keep this thing momentum going. And you're saying that, you know, when we start to really feel great and life is awesome and we're not in conditioned mind most of the time, and then all of a sudden it reminds me of 12-step. They said one of the greatest dangers of 12-step when you come in, let's say any of the addictions, you start to feel healthy.
Yeah.
And you give it up. You say, I don't need that anymore.
Yeah.
And you turn your back on the thing that got you there.
Yes. So one of the things that I've told people for years is there's nothing that will bring on a bout of self-hate faster than happiness.
Yes.
Same process.
Right.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean we don't want to be healthy or we don't want to be happy. It's just that the Buddhist way of saying it is when you're suffering, it's really important to realize that you can not suffer. And when you're not suffering, it's really important to realize that you can suffer.
I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, practice is just what we do. It's just what we do for the rest of our natural lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about that, you know, of course, conditioned people go, oh, God, I have to do this forever.
Yes.
But the idea behind it that we have to grasp is all we're doing is getting to the authentic state of a human being.
Yes.
Yeah, which is awake and aware. So the fact that we've been asleep for so long doesn't mean that's our natural state and that
right.
we want to idealize that. You know,
mm-hmm.
idealize getting to a place where I don't have to pay attention. I don't I don't have to practice. I don't have to meditate anymore. I just be awake all the time. Well, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way. And just from my own personal experience, today was a huge, huge reminder of exactly what happens when you take your attention off being here.
Yeah.
Or practicing or listening to the mentor or, you know, all the things that the tools of practice allow us to do.
Yeah.
Which is experiencing life directly. It'll take you. It does not take long for it to, like you said, and you get really healthy and you give up practice, the backslide is immense.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sometimes there can be a lot of, like you said, about the person does some very, very unskillful things. And
yes.
and then the voices even have so much more ammunition.
Yes.
To
Which
do the
is
beating.
Why I'm so glad to hear that you didn't go that route.
No.
Yeah, because adding self-hate to that is
yeah.
just really what it's going for.
It's
so
the point to say that, yeah.
Wherever we can end the cycle, that's where we need to end the cycle, and all we do is just get back here. Good, I'm here.
Yeah.
Everything's forgiven, forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to atone. That's it.
Yeah, and I just, as soon as it was over, I almost within immediately put back on the recordings, and I just gave myself a two-hour nonstop just to sit in one place, because I was walking with my dog, and I was kind of active, and that kind of distracts you a bit, but I was just really here. And I was really with the recordings for almost two solid hours, and it just all subsided. Because
yeah,
I really got
that,
back, re-entered.
That relief, yeah. Oh, whew, I'm back.
Yeah, I'm like, woo,
yeah.
What was that? Wow.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah. Great. Well, thanks very much. That's really all I wanted to look at tonight, and
well,
just huge amounts of gratitude and appreciation for everything the practice does and supports. And thank you again, Michael, for running the show for us for years and years and years. Love it.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Todd. Good
okay,
night.
Take good care. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We are lucky people, Sherry.
We are. I swear we are.
Wow. Great group of people. And we have another caller.
Excellent.
Next caller. You are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Wow. Michael and Sherry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, it's
yes.
Jan in California.
Hey, Jan.
I didn't expect to get on. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. What do I do now?
Yeah. Wow. Well, great conversations tonight.
Yeah. How about you? What's going on?
Well, things are really good. I was away traveling for about a week recently, and I mentioned this at group on Sunday. I just got to see when you get out of your schedule, when I got out of my schedule, even though you make effort, how different it is and how much I appreciate having a schedule. It's like being away. I imagine it's like being a monk and going away from the monastery, and you've really got to focus on how to do practice.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. And those breaks are good for that. For exactly what you've pointed at, you can be so grateful for something that conditioning could try to talk you into believing is a drag.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the opposite of that. I was, while we had it, you know, great traveling, good time, just to be home and to go to Sunday group just felt, I don't know, you know, it was hard to feel enough gratitude for that. It was, you're right. It's like going away just made me appreciate that much more what
mm-hmm.
I have, practice, and how important it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So again, that's the kind of thing that in the olden days, conditioning would have tried to beat you up for. You know, you didn't really pay as close attention, and you didn't keep on your schedule, and blah blah blah. But
yeah.
Instead, you realize, wow, well, it is different when you're traveling, and it requires a whole different set of tools in a way. And the main thing is, it leads to so much appreciation. Well, gosh, that was a great trip.
Yeah, and also just it made me realize how I'm catching myself. I'm trying to see if conditioning is saying this. yeah, I don't think so. It's just making a commitment. I see now that before traveling that I need to make a commitment to myself how I'm going to support myself during that time.
Yes.
And I just appreciate that too.
Oh, exactly. The scam that so many people have fallen for is that doing practice right is always never having to learn anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? So I know how to do practice. I know what it means, which, of course, you know, we can be suspicious about right there. But I know what it means, and I know how to do it, and now I just do that all the time.
Right.
And, of course, what I try to encourage people to realize is, no, what we're doing is learning to be in the present moment and see what karmic conditioning is, what self-hate is doing, and recognize all those tactics that it's using to try to pull people out of the present moment, and learn to recognize them and not fall for them the next time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then the thing that came to mind when you were saying that is just the light appreciation for the tweets in particular that bring the lightheartedness to turning away from that,
yes,
to the voices, to conditioning all the time. I mean, it's getting to be so much fun that it's hard to believe. And conditioning comes in. This came up in an earlier caller, I think, or you mentioned, where it can't get better, but it does keep getting better.
Yes.
But conditioning keeps telling me, oh, there's no way.
Right.
You're gonna go crashing down here soon, or whatever
right.
it says.
Yeah.
And yet life just keeps getting to be more fun, lighter,
yes,
more amazing.
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, as we often note, it's desperately hoping that it can talk you into a big crash. But at this point in practice, even if you had a big crash, it would just be, you know, a la Todd's experience where you go, oh, wow.
Yes.
I didn't even see that hole. And so you learn something. You see something, and you're clearer and more kind and compassionate than you were before. It's a good thing.
Yeah. And I guess the last thing I wanted to mention is the thing that's become sort of within that realm more and more clear to me recently is the places where the line is drawn. It's an exception. Oh, this is an exception for getting angry or to falling into conditioning. I don't know how exactly to say it, but the circumstance, the content, whatever it is, I've begun to see those things that are left where that is the case. There's still a belief that it's okay to leave peace, kindness, happiness. And that has been a revelation, too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so every time we see something, see through something, and especially, I know I sound so born again with this, but with the recording and listening, you know, I mean, I've watched people for years and years and years have the same awareness over and over because you have an awareness, you see something, you get it, you're clear, and then it just, conditioning just starts piling stupid dust on top of it. But now with the recording and listening, I have an insight, I see how something works, and I record about it, and I continue to listen to it, and I don't get fooled in the same way. So conditioning is having to constantly try something different.
Yeah.
You know? And I mean, I don't know if this is true, but it sure looks like it to me, that people are burning through karma at a truly inspiring rate because
yeah.
conditioning has to keep coming up with the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing.
Yeah, and it becomes more and more obvious as we
talk. Yes.
I agree. The recording and listening, it's like, I don't know, the speed is big.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it's the same practice. It's just at warp speed.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. And I do love how conditioning will tell me, there'll be something that, well, you already know that, okay. Well, you don't, you know, you thought that, you just got it, so you don't really need to record it. You know, really, gentle voice. And it's...
Really? I don't? Thank you. I'm going to record now.
Anyway, I think my time's up. But thank you so much. And
thank you, Jan.
See you in May.
All right. Great.
Bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jan. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
Hey.
Next caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Mary Beth from New Jersey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Hi. I've been listening to the show for probably almost 3 years now, but it's the first time I'm calling in, so glad to be
Welcome.
A part of the show this way. And I wanted to share a little bit about the... I guess what I'm calling conditioning drama. So,
oh, yeah.
My attempt to call in began actually back in October. And Sherry, I saw you when you'd done a session in New York City at the Integral Yoga Institute.
Uh-huh.
And I had mentioned that, okay, I want to make a commitment and call in by the end of the year. And, of course, Tuesday after Tuesday, conditioning had talked me out of it for one reason or another. And then it came time for the Santa Sabina retreat, which I was supposed to be on, but due to the blizzard on the East Coast, never got out to. So when the radio show moved to that retreat, of course, conditioning had all sorts of things to say about that. Now I just truly was not meant to be on the show. And then even, I guess, the early part of this year when the guidance came through about the 5 minutes, conditioning had another field day. You know, well, now it's 5 minutes, so you got to be perfect. I mean, I know it's your first time and all, but you got to be perfect, and it would just kind of, you know, do a whole number. And so I know the Oscars were several weeks back, and my conditioning did not win the drama award, but I do think that was an oversight.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is you have had one heck of a workshop.
Yeah.
For months now, right? I mean,
for months.
Yeah, talk about having the voices and their little antics under the spotlight. They've just been cooperating beautifully for you to be able to see them and what they do and how they do it.
Absolutely. And so many of the experiences where sometimes I'd be conscious of being talked out of it. Other times, I mean, it was just amazing how, you know, on Tuesday evening, lost track of time, and next thing you know, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. So.
And then would it say, oh, wow, it's 9 o'clock, you missed the radio show again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, it's so evil, isn't it? It's so evil.
So, but I won this time.
Yeah, you did. And, you know, back to that, lose track of time, and then the thing about it is, what it tells us, which it certainly doesn't want us to know, is how devious it is. You know, it would want you to believe that you just forgot. But clearly, you were the recipient of a concerted campaign on its part to distract you until the exact moment when it can tell you that you've done it wrong again. And for me, catching on to something like that, it just liberates me. It's like, okay, this doesn't have anything to do with me, and I may get distracted, I may get fooled, but I'm not going to feel bad about it. Because all that's happening is, right now, you have the ability still to fool me, and one day you won't. So, go ahead. Do your worst. I'm not going to feel bad. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the piece you did last week about the Day of Atonement, I just thought that was fabulous. I said, okay, this is going to be my day too.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have paid my debts to society. All my sins are forgiven. It's all in the past. Yeah, I love it. Oh, we can't talk about that. That happened a year ago. Oh, not that either. That was way past the statute of limitations. Yeah. Not taking it seriously is the biggest blow we can deal it. It has no sense of humor, and it cannot bear being made fun of.
That has been my experience.
Yeah. Good. Well, this was a success, I would say. Would you?
Absolutely.
Now that you have the hang of it, you can join us often.
Absolutely. Now I can make a new commitment and stick with that.
Yeah, and know that you can keep it. And if you don't, you can know that you fell for another a little bamboozle job, and you can note that and record and listen to it and join the rest of us in that ongoing attempt to keep track of all of these things. You know, that's one of the things we could do as a sangha, is write all of this stuff out. You know, like in the email class when I say everybody's self-hate says exactly the same thing. We just write it all out. And then we could start keeping track of all of the con jobs that karmic conditioning does to try to distract people, get them out of the moment. And then all of the things that conditioning says to people after they have been successfully conned. And that, you know, we just write out the stages of practice in such a way that anybody who's coming to it for the first time can just go, oh, yeah, that. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, that's where I am right now. That's what the voices are saying to me. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would. I'm almost thinking instead of a cheat sheet's not the right word, but more like a support sheet where it's, you know, you just kind of go down the list. Oh, con job number 57, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, like a Chinese restaurant, right? Oh, I'm having a number 57 right now. Oh, that's great. All right. Well, thank you, my dear.
All right. Thank
Talk
you.
Soon.
Thank you for the show and the practice. And I'm grateful I followed my heart that led me to the practice. So thank you.
Yes. Well, I'm grateful for that, too.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Mary Beth. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Wow. That was fun, Sherry.
Wasn't that fun?
All in 1 hour.
Yeah. It's a good time.
It is a good time.
Let's do it again.
Okay. How about next Tuesday?
Sounds good.
All
right, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.